Salam sejahtera, anda bersama saya Rizal Zulkapli. Ini Niaga Awani. Perjanjian Perkongsian Ekonomi Komprehensif Serantau RCEP akan saksikan penghasilan kerangka kerja untuk kerjasama ke arah pemulihan ekonomi yang lebih awal. Menurut pengerusi pengasas Malaysia Global Business Forum, Nordin Abdullah, Malaysia mempunyai hubungan perdagangan yang cukup besar dengan kesemua ekonomi ahli RCEP. Tambahnya, ini pastinya akan berikan Malaysia kelebihan semula jadi. Sementara itu, Pengilang Malaysia dan juga PKS diminta terus berdaya saing di pasaran antarabangsa selepas pemeteraian RCEP. Menurut Presiden Gabungan Dewan Perniagaan dan juga Perindustrian China Malaysia, Tan Sri Te Leong Yap, persaingan tidak dapat dielakkan dalam perdagangan global yang kini direvolusikan teknologi digital serta e-dagang. Dalam masa yang sama, Presiden Dewan Perdagangan Malaysia China MCCC, Datuk Tan Yu Sing, menegaskan perusahaan Malaysia perlu merebut peluang mengukuhkan daya saing mereka melalui penggunaan teknologi tinggi bagi meningkatkan produktiviti pemeteraian RCEP antara ASEAN, Australia, China, Jepun, Korea Selatan dan New Zealand menjadi detik bersejarah selepas lebih 8 tahun dan 31 rundingan. RCEP adalah pakatan perdagangan bebas terbesar ASEAN dan dunia setakat ini. Ia merangkumi 2.2 bilion penduduk dengan 26.2 trilion dolar atau 30% KDNK dunia. RCEP akan menyaksikan tarif dan kuota dihapuskan ke atas lebih 65% barang yang diperdagangkan. Dan kita bersama Tan Sri Dr. Munir Majid, tokoh korporat dan juga pengerusi CARI yang memfokuskan kepada penyelidikan ASEAN dan juga pengerusi ASEAN BAC Malaysia untuk membincangkan berkenaan dengan RCEP dan juga pemulihan ekonomi di tengah COVID-19. Tan Sri, we discussed the importance of RCEP to ensure better economic recovery from COVID-19. Are you pleased now that ASEAN and five other countries have signed RCEP?
Good morning, Rizal. I think this is very good news. You know, the signing of RCEP, even if it took 8 years, these kinds of negotiations always do take time. But I think it's the best piece of news that has appeared in these very dark COVID-19 times, you know. Mm-hmm. And therefore, let's give credit when it's due to ASEAN and its partners. And I think this is a shot in the arm for the economies of the region. And I think, of course, there will be people who will say it remains to be seen what happens. You agree, you still have to implement and work together. But it is important to agree. And they have agreed. And if six ASEAN countries and three non-ASEAN countries, three of the five, ratify this agreement, it will be enforced as a legally binding agreement. And the main thing from this agreement, there are 20 chapters in the agreement. I think the main thing that I would say that would immediately benefit the economies is the rules of origin chapter, which reflects on the origination of any product or service being recognized. If at any point along the value chain there is an involvement of an RCEP member country, it would be recognized as originating from that country and therefore would enjoy the benefits of admission into targeted RCEP markets. Mm-hmm. And this market is huge, as you mentioned. It is, I think, it's one-third the market of the world. As you also mentioned, it's 30% of output in the world. And as you mentioned, this will be a great generator of growth in the fastest-growing region in the world. And the fact that, you know, Financial Times and Economist and so on set up and reported and recognized the impact and importance of this agreement only underlines the fact how significant it is. Of course, President Biden and U.S. Chamber of Commerce also took note although, I mean, the Americans have really got to come to terms with how the world in this part of the world is moving faster and well ahead of America.
And
I hope with RCEP we will also consolidate through a relationship with the EU and consolidate the market access to the EU as well. And of course the EU would be interested in investing in this region, taking advantage of the supply chain that will give access to these huge markets. You're talking about China, of course, but also Japan, Korea, Australia, you know, and New Zealand, and the ASEAN markets itself, you know.
And Tan Sri, apologize for cutting you there, but we have also discussed the gaps in implementing the ASEAN Economic Community. You've mentioned the ratification and also the interest from EU and the US possibly, but what do you think needs to be done to ensure member countries will not repeat the same mistakes that they have done or committed when it comes to the ASEAN Economic Community and its implementation?
Yeah, the ASEAN Economic Community, I mean, the recent summits that took place, particularly the ASEAN Summit, the 37th Summit, is one of the better summits that have taken place in ASEAN's history. I think, of course, you know, the challenges of the COVID-19 have obviously focused their minds, and the submissions like from the private sector that we have made, Pathway 225 and so on, you know, have pressed attention. And they have responded, which is a good thing. Although not fully, but they have responded. For example, it is forgotten in all the excitement about the signing of the RCEP agreement, there was also a memorandum of understanding among ASEAN countries. Rizal, coming to your point about closing gaps and so on, a memorandum of understanding on a ceasefire kind of thing on NTMs for essential goods. This is part of the Hanoi Action Plan. And there's now a memorandum of understanding. Of course, in the private sector, we had wanted a legally binding agreement. Mm. What they have is a memorandum of understanding. We want a complete ceasefire. But the memorandum of understanding gave some possibilities of getting exclusion from this commitment. Yet, it is very important that the commitment has been made. It is understood that there must be no additional non-tariff barriers and measures at this time particularly. And they have concentrated on essential goods and essential goods like medical goods as well as food. And so it is important. ASEAN has moved. Not enough, you might say, but it has moved. And then with RCEP, you know, on top of it, there's a kind of impetus that would make ASEAN begin to cooperate even more among themselves, just as they have to cooperate with the partner countries in RCEP. And so, you know, so RCEP and ATIGA, you know, will now be the two moving trade and investment agreements for the region, the whole of the East Asia Pacific, this one-third of global output region. And this is a very important turn of events.
And Tan Sri, you've mentioned the 20 chapters. Chapter 14, the parties recognise that small and medium enterprises, including micro enterprises, contribute significantly to economic growth, employment and innovation, and therefore seek to promote information sharing and cooperation in increasing the ability of small and medium enterprises to utilise and benefit from the opportunities. How do we measure the success moving forward, seeing that these MSMEs have significantly contributed to the development of ASEAN countries? Can we draw from the experience that we have in ASEAN when it comes to managing the needs of the business communities, drawing from experience at CHARI and also ASEAN BAC?
Yes, good point. And take note, you know, this is the first time something is specifically put into an agreement for MSMEs, right? That's point number one to take note. Point number two to take note is there's an undertaking by all ASEAN, all RCEP member countries to have a platform. To have a platform in their national jurisdictions on the RCEP agreement, on what are the accessibilities and what are the possibilities and what are the e-commerce means they can use to access the whole of the RCEP market. At the same time, that there are provisions in there also, because people get scared about intellectual property protection for even SMEs and for MSMEs. So this kind of focus is very good. At the same time, if you read the whole of the 20 chapters, you will see, you know, injections in various provisions about looking after the interests of countries which are not so well developed, which, you know, ipso facto means also the interest of the companies in those countries that are not so well developed, and therefore we are talking about the MSMEs in the less developed countries being pulled up. At the same time, they are given certain exemptions, you know, in those countries from the total provisions of some of the RCEP agreements. So there is an attention, a focus on MSMEs. But MSMEs must respond. You know, they cannot expect to be spoon-fed all the time, but they're now being given special attention. And I hope the different countries of RCEP will give them that special attention and give them those accessibilities to both knowledge and markets that will make them sustainable and that will make them what they are, which is the backbone of the economies in this region.
And Tan Sri, briefly, do you foresee challenges moving forward to implementing the RCEP, seeing that ASEAN is a major portion of the member countries? Do you foresee any challenges moving forward? Briefly, Tan Sri.
Of course, there will be you know, problems. You know, life is not without problem. You sign an agreement, there will still be problems. There is a dispute settlement mechanism through the setting up of a panel. And in the RCEP context, there's also, you know, these are more like the WTO type, you know, settlement mechanisms. There is also the provision that within, after 18 months, except for India, after 18 months, other countries can apply to join, you know, can join RCEP. It is interesting that, you know, a country like the United Kingdom, you know, has been talking, you know, about whether they want to join RCEP or whether they want to join the CPTPP. Now, the CPTPP actually is now dwarfed by RCEP because in terms of market size, population cost, you know, I mean, RCEP is five times CPTPP and it is, you know, twice the trade value and combined GDP. So EU will now have to be more serious about signing FTA with ASEAN as a whole. I mean, to sign with RCEP as a whole might be difficult because, but they have signed agreements, for example, with Japan, but they might have problems with China, you know. But so with ASEAN as a whole, I think that this should be a kick on the backside for a regional EU-ASEAN FTA.
Okay, thank you very much Tan Sri Dr. Munir Majid, Tokoh Korporat dan juga Pengerusi CHARI dan juga Pengerusi ASEAN BAC Malaysia, membincangkan berkenaan dengan RCEP. Terima kasih dan kita akan berehat seketika kembali selepas ini.